Welcome to episode 11 of More Than Just Maps. I am your host, Ollie Powers. This podcast was created with the intent to help anyone in the GIS field get from where they are now to where they want to be that your first job, a career move, or just improving your GIS game overall. On this week's episode, I have the pleasure of speaking with Brandy Rank from the city of Thornton, Colorado. We chat about what it's like to be the first generation in your family to attend college while not knowing what you're supposed to do right away, and what the process looks like when you're searching for what you're supposed to do with the rest of your life. We also talk about the importance of internships and the abundance of experience they can provide. And finally, we span Brandy's career in government, where she started searching for monuments for the Colorado State Parks, to where she is now as the GIS manager for the city of Thornton, just north of Denver. And now for part one of my interview with Brandy Rank.
Welcome to another episode of More Than Just Maps. On this week's episode, I have Brandy Rank, the GIS manager for the city of Thornton, Colorado. Welcome, Brandy.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. I'm really excited to have you on the podcast this week, especially after seeing your presentation at the GIS Leadership Summit. To get us started, can you go into your background and how you got into GIS, where you went to school, what your first jobs were like? Just give us a little bit of background. How you got to where you are.
Sure. So that was a lot of questions, so you might have to remind me because
let's just start with where you went to school and how you got into your first job then.
Okay. So I went to the University of Massachusetts, Boston, and I was there from 1998 to 2002-ish. And I actually really had no idea what I wanted to do when I grew up, and I just kind of went to college. I don't know if anyone else kind of can relate to that, but I didn't go with a major declared. I had so many different ideas and also no idea at all what to do. I was the first person in my family to ever go to college. So my parents didn't know what to do either. So I took different courses, kind of that everyone has to take, and was just kind of feeling it out. And I took a Earth and Geographic Science class. And I was like, wow, this is pretty sweet. I actually don't hate this.
That's always a good thing.
So I apparently caught the attention of some of my professors. I was apparently getting the highest grades they'd ever seen from these courses. And so they were like,
That's impressive, especially if you're the first generation to attend college in your family.
Yeah. And they're like, who's this chick with like a mohawk who's like getting these high grades? So I guess I was kind of an anomaly to them. So they, we started chatting. And when I was in high school, I actually went to a really, really great public school in Massachusetts. And we had this really cool, dynamic computer teacher who really got us a ton of resources that most high schools, especially at this time, you have to remember this is like, 1995. And we were partnering with a local technology company who still exists. And they were developing software for Macs to capture video and create your own movies. Which sounds absolutely absurd in 2020.
At the time, that was really, really cool. I thought at that age that it was really cool that I could record music off the radio onto the computer, let alone video.
Right. And so you can like capture video and you'd put, text and music behind it and you'd make your own little like home movie or whatever. So somehow it's just like things happen and I got myself an internship in high school at that job. And I left that job. It was great. That's a whole nother story. But I kind of thought to myself that I don't want to do that. I don't want to sit in a cube farm in front of a computer all my life. Like that is not going to make me happy.
No, and so, I don't think that makes most people happy either.
Well, I mean, and when you're 17, 18, years old, that doesn't sound very fun.
No, you want to go and explore when you're that age.
Yeah. So when I started, speaking to the professors in college and kind of giving them some of my background, they're like, oh, you know computers. you know, like, you know, pretty proficiently. You worked in the, you know, in the industry. You need to come in our GIS program. It's brand new and you'll love it. And I was like, I do not want to do this. Like, I literally told myself, I do not want to sit in an office behind a computer, you know?
And is that just because at the time when you thought of computers, it was just, here's what you see in older movies where everybody's behind a desk behind a computer just typing away furiously?
I think there was a lot of things for me, honestly. I think, you know, I don't think I knew it when I was younger, but, you know, from my background and what I knew in life, it just seems so fake, like working in an office with people. And you remember when you're in college, you're such an idealist.
Yeah.
And I, you know, young and dumb, like we all are. And so I just had this thing in my mind where it was like, oh,
you can admit that. So many people don't want to admit how dumb they were at that age, myself included.
I was so dumb. I mean, I'm still not, you know, amazing, but so dumb when you're young. You don't know anything.
Hey, don't sell yourself short right now.
So anyways, I just think the overall thought of it just kind of grossed me out. And I was like, I'm going to do something different because, you know, I'm so independent and I'm so this and that, whatever you think when you're young. So I kind of was like, I don't know. But like I said, I had no idea what I wanted to actually do. And I'm paying money, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, I'll check out your GIS class. It's not going to hurt me, right?
Exactly.
So then, of course, like probably everybody else in the world who takes a GIS class, you're like, this is the bomb. Like, I want to do this.
I feel people either love it or they never look at it again.
Yes. Yes, but it was like, you know, there's fun pictures and you can do cool analysis and, you know, it played into my, I don't want to work in the office. You know, I'm young and in shape, you know, want to travel the world. I'm like, I can hike everywhere and I can do this and I can do that, right?
Yep.
So I'm like, all right, yeah, this is cool. This isn't a desk job.
So what made it not a desk job, even though you were still having to plot the maps on a computer?
I think because I saw, like, there's more than just, I mean, we also have to remember, too, this is, like, we're still GPSing with Trimbles and, like, you know, doing all this data collection way more so than we're doing now. It was a very different field.
Okay.
I mean, now you can go to, and I'll say that for now, lots of my point of view is based on being a public servant. I've worked in government my entire career. And so now when you show up in a government job, you assume there's base layers and you might maintain them, but you fundamentally are going to have like everything you need. And when I started, people didn't have parcels and people didn't have sewer pipes and all that kind of what we consider fundamental base layers now.
Yeah. So there was a lot more work to be done back then.
Yeah, it was different work. So I was like, oh yeah, I can hike and, you know, I can go into saving animals and I can, you know, be an ecologist. And, you know, like I just kind of had all these, my idealism was allowed me to move forward.
The way it should, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. And I made good friends. Like that was kind of my also, you know, the people that were in my classes were great. I really connected with them more than I did with the other students that I had met in other classes. You know, you kind of find your tribe there, you know?
Yeah, I feel that's a huge indicator. When you get along with the people around you, you know you're in the right spot. The number of times either I've been or I've heard of people being like, yeah, I was there, but we weren't really friends. It's not that we didn't get along, just you didn't mesh. But when you find the people you mesh with, you know that's the key. You know you've got something there.
Like in high school, we were the nerdy kids in the computer room, you know, but also like the cool kids in the band, you know, like in rock bands, but also, you know, and it was kind of that same mesh in this situation too, where it's like there were so many different people, so many international people in my program, but also just like nerds. Nerds like a universal language.
So. It is.
Nerd in a good way, obviously.
Yes, always in a good way.
So after I left, no, while I was there, I found an internship, which I strongly recommend absolutely every single person to do everything you can to get an internship. And I was also fortunate to find one that was a paying position.
That's, yeah, especially these days where you see so many unpaid internships. Was it the same back then? Was it as difficult to get a paid internship?
You know, I don't know. For me, it was really easy to get one.
Okay.
So I don't know. And I don't know if it's, you know, regionally that's different or the right place at the right time. But for me, it was really easy to find one. I actually had a couple options and I went with you know, I had to pick one. You know, there's a lot less of us too.
Yes.
The competition was way smaller.
So, and this is early 2000s, correct?
Yeah, this is like 2000, 2001.
Okay. So, I mean, it seems a little crazy to say that was 20 years ago, but that was still 20 years ago. In the grand scheme of things, that's not that long ago.
Well, I mean, to me, it seems like yesterday, but, you know, when it comes to technology, it's a really long time ago, you know?
Yeah. Thinking of simple things, like my phone that I had in 2000, I don't even think I had a cell phone in 2000 versus what we have now. It's night and day.
No, I mean, the computer I was running GIS was less powerful than my smartphone is, you know? So, I mean, truly, you know? So, I remember when, I think it was like, I'm not even going to date myself anymore. But so I was able to get a job with a local municipality in Massachusetts for their water department. And so I was able to, literally all I was doing was drawing lines from the main water line to touch the house polygon. And then I was attaching like the water tap information, the little cards, scanning them and then attaching them to those lines. That was my job.
These is like part of somebody's job. I don't think I know anybody who just does that anymore.
No, But it was, again, it was so new and it was intern. So it's like, you're going to be here for 6 months and this is mm-hmm. the job you're going to do. So that was my introduction into a very desk oriented job.
For someone who did not want a desk job.
Yeah.
So after you did this internship, how did your career move from there?
So I decided that I needed to leave Massachusetts and go try something new. And when I was doing research and talking to people, basically the span of the highway from Fort Collins to Colorado Springs in Colorado at this time had the most companies using GIS in the country.
Okay.
And or it was in a place that I was, you know, would consider moving to. So I don't know if it was other places were better, but, you know, I wasn't going to move anywhere. So, and I was like, well, I don't know. Like, I guess I'll go to Colorado. Like, kind of want to go to like San Francisco or Seattle or, you know, but I'm going to do this. This is smart. This is for my future. Right. So yeah. I get out to Denver and I get a job with the Colorado State Parks.
That's like a dream right there out of school.
I literally get paid to hike trails.
That is a dream.
I know. And I get paid to go in the backwoods on ATVs, like up drainages and through these, you know, land that humans have not been there since, you know, the pioneers went through or maybe not the pioneers, but when the surveyors came through and they, you know, surveyed the country. And I would go try to find their monument points and GPS and capture those monument points.
Oh my gosh. That must have been, I mean, first you're hiking in the backwoods of Colorado, which is just complete wilderness. And to people who have never been to Colorado, it is wilderness out there. But then trying to find monuments, like how old were these monuments?
Oh, I mean, you know, 100 plus. Gosh. And it was like, okay, we think it's kind of in this area, and there's a description written down from someone.
This is the literal looking for a needle in a haystack.
Literally. And it was like, go to a rock, look to the east, find the tree with the naked lady carved into it, not joking.
Oh my gosh.
And then look to the right and you'll find the post. You know, and then plus I'm in the mountains, so I'm not getting good satellite signal.
No, especially not at that time.
In the terrain, it's like, well, I would be able to see that satellite, but the mountain's in the way.
I mean, at that point, a single fluffy cloud would break the satellite.
Absolutely.
So
you'd find it, and then you'd like sit there and, you know, be like, well, I'm going to take the point, and then I'm going to draw it on this topo that I have. And I mean, it was so fun.
That sounds like an amazing job. So in regards to actually getting the job, how did you find out about it? And then how did you go about actually getting it?
Okay, so this is a great story, I think. When I first moved to Colorado, obviously, you know, you need to make money and get an apartment and all that. So of course I had to work in a restaurant for a little while. And then after I did that, and it's like a great way to meet friends when you're in your 20s and you want to like, you know, have a life and whatever. How did I find it? I think it must have been on, you know, USA Jobs or one of those generic kind of like online job finder things. Mm-hmm. But it was what I thought was good about the job. And this is something that I actually do to this day when I hire people. We did the, you know, you fill out the application, you have an in-person interview, and then they actually put me in front of a computer and they said, okay, I want you to do X, Y, and Z. And to this day, I can't remember if it was written down or if it was verbal, but they said, you can't ask us anything. We're not going to tell you how to do anything. We're not going to help you. However, if you need to look something up, you will not be penalized for that. So don't worry if you have to look it up. You just have to figure out how to accomplish A, B, and C.
Which that right there is really important for anybody who's still looking for their first job. If you can figure something out,
yes,
it doesn't matter if you're lacking the skill. You will know how to figure out the skill.
Yes, and that's college, right? That's the point of college, yeah, is to help you understand how to figure out things you don't know. So, and I loved that because, you know, I did have a, you know, slight more, I had a harder time verbally in my interview. You know, I have to remember, first person in my family to go to college, not a professional environment in my household. I had no idea what to do. I had nobody to talk to, like, hey, mom, what do you do when you go to an interview? She's like, I don't know. I've owned my own business my whole life, you know?
Yeah, that's got to be extra difficult.
Yeah. And I'm not complaining. I'm just explaining. That's why I think being allowed to demonstrate skill and being allowed to demonstrate, like, oh, they asked me to, this was, you know, and this is ARC 3.2A. And they, you know, it had been now 2 years or a year since I'd actually used GIS. And so they're, you know, asked me to do something. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I totally know how to do that, but I don't remember like where the button is.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember going to the help saying, oh yeah, that's right. And then going over and, you know, completing what they asked me to do. And then they even told me later, if, you know, you weren't very impressive in your interview, but when we sat you in front of the computer, we were like, whoa, this person knows what they're doing. They're very comfortable with the computer. You quickly, you knew exactly what you didn't know. So you searched it really quickly and were able to finish the exercise. So I have to say, I do this now when I hire, because I don't want to count someone out who maybe was like me, and maybe that verbal part is really a lot more difficult for them.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge thing. You might be really strong. You might not be a people person, but you can still do the job, no problem. And that's not a reason to not hire somebody.
Yeah, especially a young person. I mean, I definitely think when you're, you know, 25 or less, you're going to be evaluated differently than if you're 7 years in the business.
Yeah. And what young person isn't nervous during their interviews? It doesn't matter how many you've done, you're still going to be nervous.
Right. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think it was well into my 30s before I was like, well, I don't really care if I get this job, so I'm just going to be me and we'll see how it goes.
I can say the same.
Yeah, but when you're young, it's like, no, I actually really need this job because I need to pay my rent and eat food, you know?
Yep. The stakes are much higher when you're younger. I mean, they're high when as you get older as well, but when you're younger, it's there's almost a desperation to it. Like, you have to prove that you can actually make it in the world by yourself. And there's just so much more at stake, it feels like, when you're younger.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's it's more than just the job, you know? And it's also, what do you hear when you look for jobs? Oh, well, you don't have enough experience. You don't have enough experience, you know? And it's like, well, if no one gives me experience,
I'm not going to get it.
Right.
So the ultimate catch 22.
Exactly. And plus you have all these student loans that you have to pay off, you know? So that was kind of how I got in.
Okay.
Which I just think that was really cool. So if you can test people, do it.
Yes.
Because I've hired people that I've also had the experience of hiring people that they look great on paper and then you get them in the chair and it's like, oh, you have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah. You're working for Colorado State Parks, which I'm still incredibly jealous that you got to do that. So where did you go on from there? Because you said all your experience has been municipal or has been governmental, correct?
Yeah. So unfortunately, this position was grant funded.
Ah.
So we were able to extend it like once or twice. I mean, literally one day it was Friday and I was like, hey, boss, do I have a job on Monday? And he's like, oh my gosh, we didn't get that figured out. And, you know, I ended up having my job, but I didn't want to do that again. Mm-hmm. So I started looking. And I feel like at this point we have, Colorado has this really cool resource called GISCO, G-I-S-C-O. And it's a Colorado listserv for GIS. There's people outside of Colorado that join it. But it is really Colorado focused and they post tons and tons of jobs and all that kind of stuff. So I think it was there that I found a job up in the county just north of Denver. So I went up and applied and got that job. So as a GIS analyst for a planning department with a county government.
Okay.
So that position was great in many, many ways. I was there for about 16 years with that organization. And I had
a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's good and bad. There was a couple recessions in there.
Always fun.
Yeah. So you stay put, but
yeah,
it was a really great job. And I learned a lot about planning and I also, because now I was, you know, kind of I was a full-time employee. I was able to kind of do more and expand kind of what that role was previously.
And what was it previously? And what did you expand it to?
This is my other soapbox thing for all GIS people. in many ways, the job is what you make it. So there's status quo and there's me, right? Mm-hmm. That's how I think about it. So the person who had the position before me had been there for about 34, 35 years. You know, they started back when
literally, my eyes just went huge.
I know. When they started, you literally would draw, like use markers and tape and X-Acto knives and like make little maps. So weird. And then, you know, learn GIS, they, you know, educated that person, they learned GIS, you know, whatever. But they were really set in their ways. And there was really strong division of like, this is what I do. And don't ask me to do anything else.
I feel like there's a lot of that in, I want to say older generations. It was, here's what you do. And this is the only thing you're going to do for the rest of your life. And I feel it's kind of been a disservice to younger generations because that's no longer the case anymore. In a lot of industries, technology is just evolving so quickly that what you started doing is not what you're going to do when you end your career.
Right.
Even things you learned in school, what you start in first year, by the time you get to fourth year, it's completely changed.
Right.
You can't do that anymore.
And why would you want to?
Exactly.
I mean, to me, that is so boring. Even now when I have, you know, all of us have projects where it's going to take you a month or a couple weeks or whatever to, you know, start and complete a project. When I have to work on super long projects that are monotonous, I'm like, oh my God, when's vacation? You know?
Yep.
So I can't imagine like not opening myself up to new things. I mean, the positive, the good thing for me was I came in and I had no idea what kind of, you know, limits this person had put on them. So I start just doing my thing and the people are like, oh my gosh, you can do that? We didn't know GIS could do that. You're a genius. And I'm like, why, yes, I am a genius. Of course, that's exactly what's going on here.
I start taking that view when people start calling me a genius.
Yeah, don't say no and be humble. Be like, yes, yep, thank you.
That's it. That's what you got, it right on the nose.
No one else could do this but me, you know? And the reason why I was saying I'm going to soapbox this is, in so many ways, the job is what you make of it. So make it better, make it great, make it, you know, be number one, like, you know, go for it. Go try something new, you know. Don't just stay in your little box. You actually don't have to. Like, no one said, hey, Brandy, we want you to be better than the last person, but I did it anyways.
And I think that's so strong and such a good indication of character that you're just going to go and make it better just because, for the sake of doing it. There's no point in staying stagnant in life, whether it's in your job, your skill level, no matter what it is. Like, the fact that you just did that on your own is amazing. So many people have to be told to go make themselves better.
Yeah, and I cannot relate to, I really literally cannot relate to that at all. To me, it's just like, why wouldn't I want to improve myself? You know, that's why I read books. That's why I travel. You know, I mean, there's all these things I do in my life to like learn, you know. It's like, we were joking about how dumb we were when we were kids, but of course we were. We had no experiences. We didn't have life behind us. And now it's like, I don't want to be that same person I was 20 years ago.
No, and like, why would you be? When people ask, like, you could go back in time, or people say, if you could go back to being a kid, would you? And I'm like, absolutely not.
No. No, you couldn't pay me enough money to do that.
Yeah.
I take it seriously that I work for government, and the money that I get paid and the money that we spend for our GIS program, that's all taxpayer dollar. And it's important to me that, not to sound weird, but like, it's serious. You know, I don't want to waste people's money. Like, people, you know, if I'm going to pay taxes, I want it to be used for something good. So I do actually think about that. I'm like, no, this is for the citizens. Like, that's why I'm here. I'm not here so that I can get a paycheck. So I always kind of thought about that too. It was like, well, if this was my tax dollars, this is what I would want the GIS person to do, because I know what's capable.
And that's coming from you understanding the industry, right?
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people will just say, well, this is taxpayer funded, so we have to just do what the people want. Which is not necessarily always true if they don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
So you have to kind of be the one to guide them for what, not necessarily what they want, but here's what we should be doing with your money. Because it is like, they are paying taxes. You're paying to live in a place. But just because you pay to live there doesn't mean you know what's best.
Yeah. I mean, I am not in the public eye, right? I'm still the GIS person. So I work for the people who are in the public eye. Like, that's what the planners do. They go figure out what does the community want, and they talk to them and they negotiate, and they are wonderful, wonderful people. But I know how to make the technology to help the planners help the citizens make better decisions.
It helps the planners shine when you're doing your job right and you make them a graphic or an exhibit or something that's going to be in front of the public eye, it makes the planners look amazing.
Yes. And that's what we want to do, right? Because when they look good, then the citizens are like, wow, we have great planning staff. Now they are going to say nice things about government workers, you know?
One can hope.
Imagine that, right? You know, that's always something I've always taken seriously. And, you know, it really makes me mad when I meet people who work in the public sector who don't think about that stuff.
Yeah.
It should be one of your core values.
So you were with this place for 16 years. And are you still there or did you move on from there?
No, I left there about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And now I'm where I currently am with the City of Thornton as the GIS manager.
So, just because the technology in GIS has been changing so rapidly. So in the 3 short years that you've been there, how has your position changed from then to now?
I've changed it in a lot of different ways. You know, and this is true for and anyone who's hired someone or been someplace for a while and you've seen new people kind of filter through positions. Everybody brings their own uniqueness to every position. And sometimes that's actually really good. You know, maybe someone leaves who wasn't actually performing or, you know, the way they led wasn't good. So you actually want someone different. When I came in, what they were really looking for, my boss, the guy who hired me, was looking for was someone to be a strong leader, to bring the team together, be cohesive, and morale was really low.
And was that just from former leadership?
Yeah, there was, before me, there was 2 managers. So one person was there for quite, you know, some time, 30 years or whatever. And then the other person was there for a pretty short amount of time. I want to say 2 years. I could be wrong, but it was a short amount of time.
Well, at least in comparison to the first person.
Yeah, big difference. Yeah. There was definitely some, you know, some issues or some barriers and it was, you know, impeding the work and impeding morale was super low. And, you know, so my boss was looking for, instead of someone to come in and like set up databases and make sure we've got the best servers and the top notch technology, you know, that's actually more in the IT realm than my focus. And that's not what he was really looking for, someone who was going to work with the people. So that was his big focus, as well as obviously being the GIS manager and making sure that the systems are up and people are trained and the data's integrity remains and all the normal things that you think of when you think of a GIS manager.
Yeah. So obviously your interpersonal skills had developed quite a bit from your first interview from the state parks.
Yes.
Interview.
Thankfully.
And so you've been able to motivate your team now and get them excited. And I mean, without going into specifics, I don't know if that were allowed. You've been able to get them excited to do what they're doing now.
Yeah. I mean, most of the time, I mean, we're human. So there are certain times where we're all like, is it Friday? But yeah, I would say when I started, there were 4 people who reported to me who none of them worked in the same division.
Okay.
Was how it felt. They were not a team. They were 4 separate people doing their own thing. And now I think that we have, you know, 4 separate people working on their own separate projects, but as a team of people who support each other, are aware of what each other's doing, can give advice or ask for feedback from each other. Which none of those things ever happened before.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was a road to get there, but I have to do it. That's part of, I mean, that's my job as a manager is to build that culture and make that team cohesive, you know?
So in that respect, what was it like moving from more of like a GIS analyst to more of a GIS management position where you're going from, you need all that technical, but now suddenly you're moving into more of like the people business.
Yeah. So it's completely different, and you're exactly right that you have to change your entire perspective. From an analyst to my kind of manager position happened at my previous organization. And a couple things I'll say were really amazing. Kind of this, like, you know, kismet comes together and things kind of work out. So first of all, when I first became a manager, it was similar. I had morale was broken. There was a reorganization. So people who thought that they would be in charge were now reporting to me, you know, and who is this person? They don't even know what I do.
That's not difficult to navigate at all.
Oh no, it was awesome. yeah, it was challenging. You know, there's no other, I'm not going to pretend it wasn't challenging. It was. And so, you know, I kind of had to deal with that there, but the easy part in quotes was that I had a lot of relationships already. So the people
within the city of Thornton or just in the community in general?
Well, this was Adams County.
Okay.
I'd been there for, you know, 10 years or 8 years or something when I got moved from analyst to manager over this reorganization. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of people rooting for me that I had worked for in the planning department.
All right.
But now I had planning and parks and public works and neighborhood services. So now I had four departments as my customer instead of one. And so the GIS people who were in public works were like, well, you don't know anything about public works. How could you possibly manage me? So that's actually pretty, I don't know. I mean, it's pretty fair. I wasn't upset with them for feeling that way. I told them, I had very, very honest conversations with them. I'm like, I get it. If I were you, I would be mad too. I'm like, but if you're going to stay, we're going to have to learn how to work together. Mm-hmm. So how do we do that? How are we going to move forward? And are you willing to do that with me? Because I can't force you to do anything. So I think you need to be willing to have what a lot of people would think is a really confrontational and a really uncomfortable conversation. I was like, here we go. Let's just put it on the table.
I love that you're willing to do that for one. So many people just don't want to have those uncomfortable conversations, so they avoid them at all costs. And it seems like you've dodged a bullet at the time, but really that bullet's going to boomerang around and come back at you when you're least expecting it. So I'm really glad to hear that you promote that. So
yeah, I mean, I don't want to have difficult conversations.
Nobody wants to. I think it takes a special kind of person who wants to have difficult conversations.
Right, exactly. They're attorneys.
We all know where they end up.
So with that being said, it was really important for me to make sure that those people felt empowered to continue to do their jobs without me meddling in their jobs. But I also had to find out, did they know what they were doing? It's another really, really hard part about changing from analyst to management is you need to learn to let go and delegate work.
Yeah, I can attest to that. It's very difficult, not even in work, just being with Eurissa, going from I'm a doer, I'm going to get all this stuff done, to now you've got to delegate. That is one of the most difficult changes I think anybody can experience, is learning how to delegate when you're so used to just going and doing it yourself.
Yes. And it's not even negative. That's how it comes across to the people you're not delegating to. Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of new managers are like, well, I can't just delegate. That's not right. Like no, that's like literally your job.
Yeah.
You know, your job is to provide the time and the resources and the training and the support, and keep the crazies away from your employees and let them do all the work. But your job is all the other stuff.
Yeah. So your job is to support your team at that point and to be their champion. And I'm always surprised how many managers don't understand that yet.
Oh, every day I talk to managers who don't. It's not right.
It's not.
It's not right. Now, and you saw me in the GIS Success, which was kind of a more toned down version of me when I did the Esri User Conference manager series. I loved it. I thought it was great. I told everyone to go quit their jobs if they don't want to be GIS managers. And there's a longer story behind it, but I actually got like people booing in the audience.
That's amazing.
I know.
And you know you're onto something when you're getting booed.
Thank you. That's exactly how I felt. And I did. I even stopped my presentation. I was like, if you're booing at me right now, it's because you know I'm talking to you. And it was really funny, but, you know, I wasn't trying to be funny, but, you know, it is serious. Like, if you are in a GIS manager position and you don't actually want to do the job of a GIS manager, you're messing with other people's lives. You know, you're holding back the professional development of the people who report to you because they don't get to decide if they report to you or not, but you get to decide whether you support them.
Well, not only that, if you decide you just want to keep doing what you were doing, and let's say you're a great person, you're not the manager that everybody hates, everybody loves you, but you're still not doing your job as a manager, that's still hurting your team. And I think people recognize when there's a bad manager when they don't like them. But when you like your manager and they're still not doing your job, it's doing almost more damage.
Yep. Yeah, because no one wants to actually tell you.
Yep.
Well, you know, well, that person's nice. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've told employees, I'm like, if anyone ever says, well, Brandy's so nice, I'm like, you need to tell me because I'm doing something wrong, because that's like, to me, killer. Like, I don't want to be seen as the nice person. I don't want to be mean, but I want to be like, that person, you know, I can trust that person. They're going to get work done. They're reliable. They're fill in word other than they're nice. Because that to me is like, there's nothing else good to say.
Oh, no.
Maybe that's more of a reflection of what I say when I'm like, oh, yeah, that person's nice.
Well, I'll keep that in mind next time we're talking about someone and you mentioned them being nice. I guess on that vein, so what have you noticed then when you're hiring? And obviously you're not going to be hiring other managers, but you might sit on those interviews. But when you're hiring then for your analysts and your tech, what are you looking then in them for their current skills and as they're going to grow in their career? Are you looking like, hey, in the future, you could grow into here and you can grow into this type of leadership? Are you looking for that in people?
Yeah, so I think it's different every time I have hired someone when I'm looking for someone that's reporting to me. So I have been in a lot of interviews for peers or senior leadership or whatever. And those are obviously completely different as well. But there for me, there's been different times that I've needed different skills. So at one point I had a really technical team, and the three of us, and I'll put myself as you know, there would be four of us total. We were looking for our fourth person, and the three of us were, we jokingly called ourselves, we called the fourth person we hired our human. And at that point, and it was, we were all in the interviews, of course, and I had a couple other people from the organization, but and it was a unanimous decision. We were looking for someone with that extra special personality, customer service focused, someone I could send to my really difficult customers and they would not get frustrated with that person. So the skill set that I was looking for there was, I still needed technical competence, of course, but I really needed kind of more like a mature people, more of a people person, patience, that kind of thing. So it was funny. It was actually a person who had just graduated, just finished her degree program, but she had put herself through school as a bartender. Mm-hmm. And so when I asked questions about, like, you know, past experience at jobs or whatever, you know, I kind of hesitated and said, well, I mean, I've only worked in restaurants. And I was like, that's great. Tell us some stories about that. And by the end of it, we were all like, let's hire the bartender. because this person, nothing was going to faze her. You know, she'd seen it all and had all the technical skills we wanted. And you can be trained technical skills, but I knew if this person could, and I was thinking specifically of certain people who were very difficult to work with. I'm like, I bet this person would win them over. We've got technical down. Like we are so strong. So in that case, it was the perfect hire at the perfect time.
Kind of going to that. So what would you say to people who are having interview after interview, and maybe they've only had a couple interviews, they haven't done dozens of interviews, and they're not getting the jobs. Would you say, hey, brush up on your interview skills? Or would you say more of, it's probably just not the right fit? Which vein would you go on?
Honestly, I think it's always a little bit of both. And I understand when you're looking for a job, it's like, we were talking about this before. It's just like, it seems like the most important thing in the world. But I really think being yourself is the most important thing, because you don't know what people are looking for. So because people are like being a fit is probably the most important thing I think that people look for.
I can say that from experience. If the person you're hiring does not fit with your team, it doesn't matter how technically savvy they are or how well they know the subject matter, it is going to be a disaster.
Right. Right. So I think you should just always be yourself. Yes, I do think that learning how to interview is definitely key. Having nerves to the point where you are unable to like really show who you are is not going to work. So in that sense, I would say yes, you know, brush up on your interview skills, maybe do some public speaking, you know, kind of get comfortable in your own skin, you know. This is what I do before I present. Literally in my house, say my presentation out loud, like go find the most commonly asked questions and say it out loud. You know, practice in that way so that you don't feel awkward when you're answering them in the interview.
That's exactly it.
I don't know. It's just, sometimes it is what it is, and you could be amazing, but you're not the right fit, or you could be amazing, but they have an internal candidate. They already know what they're getting into with that person. And a lot of people are scared. Hiring someone new is a big risk. And so a lot of people will go for the lowest risk and they'll take that internal person. So treat every interview like practice for your next job, like your next big job that you actually really, really want, you know?
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode. Join us again in a couple of weeks for part two, where we talk about the difference between good and bad leadership, how GIS departments have been essential for helping transition to remote work due to COVID-19, and universal truths in the workplace.